Welcome to episode 7 of the Change of Plans podcast. I'm Joe McGuire along with Vin Provenzano. Vin, been a pretty solid week. Another episode in the books. The reaction, as we mentioned last time, has been very positive. People really kind of digging the vibe of what we're doing here.
Listen, I hate to brag, but we're pretty dope. I'm not gonna fucking lie. I've been stoked. I will admit I haven't listened to one. Just because I can't deal with my nasally voice on a podcast. But yeah, I have heard you sound dreamy. My sister commented about how good looking that you claim to be and your beautiful eyes. So I told her she's only allowed to listen and not stare into the screen anymore. Jesus, warn me before you do that. I was looking down. Jesus Christ.
I was trying to sneak in a quick eye glare into the camera.
Listen, you just, I hope no one's watching this while they're driving, because you might have just lost your life. Everything was good. You know, the funny thing is now is I've been getting lots of phone calls from my friends. Well, which one am I? Am I a window, a door, or a floor? I literally walked past a guy in the gym last week, and he's like, dude, I'm definitely a window. I'm like, bro, I don't even know your name.
Lucky to be a window.
Yeah. So it's just, and then you have some explaining to do, right? Because, and people are like, I'm definitely a floor. And you look at them like, no, you're not, buddy.
I'm telling you, it's a good way to really evaluate the people around you. And, you know, I think if there's a thing people struggle with, Vin, it's like, who do I confide in and who don't I confide in? And sometimes you have high expectations of somebody and you're like, oh, I could talk to this person. And they couldn't care less what you're talking about. And it's like, that's the wrong person to be spilling the beans to.
Well, absolutely. And then you get mad at that person, but it's not that person's fault. Because most people will make it perfectly clear that they're not in it to hear the deep shit, right? Like they make it pretty obvious. And you can't get mad at that person because they're telling you like, hey, I'm not in it for that, which is fine. Not everyone's there to be your fucking well of misery. You know, but that's why you're able to, you know, if you could categorize who you have and then you know how to spend your time. It's fairly simple and it's kind of fun, right? Like it's kind of fun. You're talking to somebody and you're like, you know what? They think they're the floor, but you know, they're not.
In a perfect world, you should surround yourself with people who really like you and who appreciate you. However, let me throw this out there, Vin. I think that's the hardest part of having friends and people close to you is finding people who genuinely love you for you and appreciate you for you and not because you have some benefit to them.
100%, but I think the bigger problem is people acknowledging that you may only have two or three of those people and it's okay, right? Like we get caught up in a society of I gotta have 100 friends or I gotta have all of these followers, or you know, look at, well, back in the day used to be a fucking Rolodex, now it's just like my contacts, right? And you're like, man, I really need 20 or 30 friends, but the reality is you might have two or three or four friends, right? Like in the, like your ideal situation, I guess you would, all of your friends would be that type of person, right? And you know, but that's doesn't have to be the case, and that's never the case. So I think it's a balance of, you know, how much time you have, how much time you want to spend with this person, but also what you're getting in return, and accepting the fact that they may not, everyone's going to be your best friend. So accepting that person, you know, for who they are and trust who they are. I just had this conversation with a young man at the gym last weekend, and we were talking about trust, and he's like, I don't trust a lot of people. And for me, I trust everybody, but I trust everybody to be who they are. Right. Like, so yeah. I don't. And so my trust isn't like, well, I'm going to tell you all my secrets, and, or I'm just going to trust that Joe, you are who you are, whoever it is. Right. Like we have those people that we know that are snakes. Right. Like, and fine, I'll let them around me, because I'm going to trust that they're that person, right? They're that, can't trust that guy as far as I'm not going to tell him stuff because I know who he is.
Right.
So I think that is the key as far as if you're looking at friendships or just people in general, is just trust your instinct and you know, be comfortable with who you are and you know, don't try to fit into anyone's norm, right? We spend so much time, you know, fitting in, right? You know, just being a sheeple. But if we're just fitting in and we're conforming to the norm, then we're not offering anything new to where we're at, right? Like we don't bring anything to the table if I'm just going to be the next guy.
Yeah.
So, and we don't, and I know we've had this conversation where not everyone has to like us. I don't like everybody. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. They're just not my flavor.
When I was in high school, I ran in a group of 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was close to like 4 of the 10 and of literally of the 7 that we generally were always with. There was 3 people in that group that, you know, not my favorite people. One of the dudes in that group who I was tight with had a friend. I'm going to use her name just because it'll just make it easy to tell the story. Her name was Annie. And she was the most annoying person in the world. Whenever Annie would come out by us, and she lived right by my friend's house, so sometimes he'd be like, let's go see what Annie's up to. And I'd be like, why? She sucks the life out of fun. Like, she's a horrible person. And we'd go over there and see her, and she'd be moping then. And she'd be like, I don't have any friends. And it's like, bitch, we're here. What are you talking about? You do have friends. I don't really want to be here at all. I can't stand you. And yet your friend Tony is here and he dragged me and some other people. That's like, sometimes you don't recognize what you have because you're looking for something else.
Well, I think, yes. I mean, you're living in the gap and not the gain. Right. So, and I was just having this discussion with my wife upstairs before I came down. She's like, what are you guys going to discuss? And it's a new book I'm reading. But in that particular instance, that person is living in this, they call it the gap, right? So it's where she's at to where her ideal is, right? So this ideal, she's like, oh my God, I don't have the perfect situation, my ideal situation. So I'm failing, I'm depressed, I have no friends. But instead of living in the gain where there's 3 friends with her right now, you're living in the moment, right? Like, a half hour ago, you were by yourself, and right now you're with 3 people. You're in the game. So if you're just focusing like, oh man, I'm with 2 friends right now, and you're not focusing on, well, I don't have 100 friends, but I achieved 2 friends today. Like, imagine how much happier you would be, right? Like you're not pursuing the happiness because now you're experiencing the happiness. So, you know, it's something I wanted to touch on because I think we all live in that. Like, and it fluctuates throughout the day. Like, I always catch myself like, I'm not, you know, I'm not this attorney, or I don't make this, or I don't do that. Instead of taking a step back, be like, dude, in 2010, I was in my Altima, right? Like, I didn't have an office. I didn't have a desk. And it's that quick frame of mind where you think, you're like, okay, you know what? I'm living in that game. I did achieve something. And it could be small, it could be large, but if it makes you be present. And I know you put the chart up on the screen, and I think it's a good explanation of what that gap in the gain is. And we have to strive to live in that gain, because everyone has those gain moments, no matter where you're coming from. But it's the overwhelming feeling we get when we're not at our ideal. And that goes back to, and I think we touch on this topic all the time, is social media. Like, every time we have a podcast, but it's rampant. Like, you're just seeing people's ideals, right? You're living for other people's like ideals instead of your own, right? Like, you're not living for your own goals. You're living through someone else's goals, which you're never going to obtain. So you're always going to be in that gap because you're not focused on what your actual goal is. You're focused on what Pete's goals are. Right. So Pete's gain is going to be your gap because it's not your goals. So, you know, I think that's something I've really been trying to focus on over the past few days. And, you know, really helps me refocus my train of thought, like, just throughout the day, where, you get overwhelmed, or you'd be like, oh, I didn't do this, or I didn't make that, or, you know, I wasn't able to do this as a stepdad or a husband, instead of just taking a step back and be like, you know what, like, I didn't have this, you know, 4 years ago. I wasn't here 4 years ago, right? Like, look where I'm at, look where I came from to where I'm at. I may not be at my ideal situation, but whoever reaches it, but I'm happy here. So, you know, it's something I wanted to touch on. I'm kind of passionate about it, as you could tell, you know, and it kind of gets me all fired up, you know, when we're talking about this stuff. And I think it also applies, you know, to when you're dealing with people and employees and your friends, is realizing where they're at, right? Like, not holding them to your standards and your goals, but realizing what are their goals, right? So you can help them stay in their game and they're not living in your gap. And I think that's one of the things I'm really trying to do, you know, going forward with my office and my practice and the way I deal with people, is not holding them out to, well, I think this person's ideal is this. Well, I'm probably like 98% chance I'm dead ass wrong, right? And because I'm holding them up to that ideal that I think they should have, they're operating in this gap because that's not what they want. And because they're not giving me what I think is best for them, now they're depressed, full of anxiety and all of that, instead of acknowledging, okay, what are their goals? And maybe, you know, they are in their gain, right? And acknowledging that. So, you know, I just thought it's a very simple concept, I think, but it's a very powerful concept.
That story that I was telling, I didn't realize was going to help you perfectly seg into tonight's topic. It's funny how I do that. Because I don't really read through the notes very well.
It was so good. And honestly, I'm sitting here and I'm like, he did it. He set it up. It's like we were like just like on a volleyball team, and I'm like, yo, set spike, he's got it. And then you just come out and just out yourself, dude.
Yeah. I was actually with it. Thinking of that girl Annie earlier today, and I got really pissed.
Of course you did. Yes. Of course you did. You're like, I'm going to go back and tell her everything she did wrong too, because yeah, she's wrong.
That I got to tell you, that irked me to no end, because my friend Tony was such a good guy and he was so nice to her. And whenever I would hear her, I don't have any friends. I'm like, well, because you're a whiny bitch, number one. And that's,
oh my God.
If we're going to diagnose this thing, I'd start there. And then number two, I would always say, she says to you, she doesn't have any friends. Like, what are you? You're her friend and she doesn't give you any, or you're not the friend she wants. She wants somebody better or cooler or whatever. That's such a horrible, horrible thing. And this went on, Vin, for years.
Like how old were you, Joe, that you're still this angry about it?
18.
You're the most passionate person I've ever met. You're most passionate, you know, passionate, grudge-holding human being ever.
I want her to see this so bad and be like, oh, was I like that? Yeah, you were, Annie. You were.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Andy, if you're out there, Andy, it's okay. Okay? It's okay, Annie. You've been hit by... Yes. Wow. That's, I was glad I was able to spin that into a positive, you know?
Yeah, you did. You're good at that. You definitely, sometimes I'm talking nonsense and just on a fit of rage and you're like, that brings us to tonight's topic. Well done. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess
the importance
that is
of anger management, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, I mean, I thought you were, that was the perfect segue into it. And I was so proud of you. I really was. I was just like, this is great. It's like the podcast that hasn't aired because we had to table it because I thought you were setting it up and it went sideways. Yeah. And we have to get past the Easter holiday before we air that one. But I mean, you know, I think it's, but it was a good segue. We tried it. You know, we gotta live in the gap in the gain. I just been walking around saying it for like the 2 days. And I'm like, gotta live in the gain and not the gap. Some attorney looked at me today like, what are you talking about? I'm like, gotta live in the gain and not the gap, you know? And I just think it's a interesting thing. And I think it could apply to anyone, right? Like it's just, we all want to be you know, the best in our careers. We all want to be in, you know, the bright lights for most of us. And, you know, we always want to be the king of the mountain. But if you're always chasing, right, you're never enjoying.
Yeah.
Like you are, like you spend, you're chasing in the gap. Like you're chasing something that's just not achievable. That ideal situation is just not achievable. And all of a sudden you're 75 and you're like, fuck. Like for, you know, 50 years, I've been chasing this rabbit that I never caught, instead of just taking a look and a step back and be like, damn, I got this far. Right. Like I did achieve. It may not be my ideal, but like, it's not like you haven't accomplished anything. And I think, you know, for me, that's just trying to stay focused on that and be present, you know, is the biggest tool for me. So I think focusing on those two things is big on being present. You know, and I know that for me anyway, speaking for myself, that's my biggest problem, is getting ahead of myself. You know, I think, you know, in my, I call it my previous life, but when I was, you know, previously married, I think, you know, me and my ex-wife, we were married, we were young in our careers, and we just started running, just started chasing towards bigger positions, more money, bigger house. Like it was chasing that ideal life that, and at that time, the ideal life for me was money, cars, house, successful wife. Like you go down the fucking checklist, and I had all of them checked off, and I got a divorce, right? Like,
yeah,
because I was chasing that ideal that, come to find out, that wasn't my ideal, right? Like now my checklist to make sure I'm in my gain is, you know, my peace, right? Like, do I have peace when I get home? You know, is my environment calm when I get home? Am I able to pay my bills, not to go buy stuff, you know, but just to make sure we're good, right? Like it's, you know, there's things I want, but I don't need, right? So like, those are the things like, hey, if I want to go get something, I can, but I don't need it. And it's not like need, well, you need water to, you know, hydrate and all that. It's, I don't need this stuff to impress anybody. Before, I needed this stuff, right? Like I needed to have the nicest car. I needed to have the nicest house in my family. I always had to have the nicest shit, the nicest watch. And it wasn't even something I wanted. It was like a need just to impress people. Cause I was living in that gap of like, I got to get to that ideal situation where they're like, look at Vin. Instead of just, if I would have just taken a step back and be like, Jesus Christ, look where I'm at. Right. Like if you would have told me when I was 18, I'd be here now, you know, with a family, a house, car, good job, self-employed, you know, great teeth. I didn't mention the teeth on this podcast, but my teeth do look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. If I was 18, I was just hoping to get to 25. Right. So like, if you focus on that and not live in the gap, I think it will change your life, to be honest with you. And I literally am halfway through this book, and it's a game changer for me.
I think when you're living to impress other people, you're not happy. And like you said, you're always trying to pursue, right? It's always a step away. Like whatever you got, whatever you've done, it's like, oh, I gotta do one better. And yeah, that's no way to live. I've always been one, I think, to enjoy the small things in life. You know, take the small victories. Like I realize, you know, I've achieved a lot in my career, and that's a nice thing. You know, I don't ever make too much of it. You know, I don't also don't minimize what I do, because I think it is pretty cool. And I, you know, I was telling you earlier, I'm at a point where if I don't show up for something, people are very cool about it.
And that's a nice place to be.
It's a nice level. Yeah. I blew something off on Saturday to be in a parade, and it was cool. Don't worry about it. We got you. And I sort of step back, and I'm like, man, like professionally doing well to, you know, I worked hard to get to where I can do something like that. And it's cool. And it's like, wow, appreciate the moment, appreciate your stature. That's, Again, right? I think if you're trying to measure what your success is, and you can kind of take stock of like, hey, good stuff, and you're genuinely happy by it, that's what genuine happiness is, I think. It's 100%. Smelling the roses.
Correct. And it's, and each person has their own definition of like success, right? Like their own checklist of, if I do this, 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 and this, I'll be successful. And it may change over the course of your life, right? Like, you know, so, but that's okay. But it's living by your own checklist, right? Living by your own definition of success, and then not living through Joe's success checklist or Vin's success checklist. And I think that's key. And it's okay to sit there and say back, you know what? My life's pretty awesome. Like, you know what? I'm good at my job. I'm doing well. I missed something. It was kind of a cool feeling because the dude didn't really care because I got to a point, right? Like I'm going through my 5-point checklist and I'm boom, checking that one off. That's my success. It may not be somebody else's, but that's mine. And I think that's key, is each person's going to have their own definition of success. Right? You can't just Google what's the definition of success and that applies to me, because it doesn't. There's 8 billion people in the fucking world, right? Like we're all not living the same lives, and that's okay. So, but that is pretty awesome, right? Like that you get there and you're like, I'm good. And some people it's like, hey, I need to be financially secure. I need $5 million in the bank, and that's fine. Like that, I'm not saying that that's not, you know, that's a bad goal, right? Like it's okay to have monetary goals if that's what you define success as. Or like I could understand where someone younger is like, listen, I need to be financially secure at 25. Like at 35, I want to make sure I got a house, I got a car, got a job. I get all that because, you know, let's just be happy and love everybody, but don't worry about making money. That's a stupid dream too, because I mean, you're not going to be able to enjoy life either, right? Because you got to have, in my opinion, like my definition of success is having that balance, that work-life, like balance is key. Balance and peace, that's the thing.
Let me ask you this question. Is success a thing, a checklist, something measurable, or is success a feeling?
I think it's both. Right, because I'm a big believer in to have goals, right? Like you have to be it has to be measurable, right? So like when you're setting a goal, like whatever it is, say like for me it's like my biggest thing is I want peace, right? Like so I have to be specific in my goal, right? It has to be measurable. So I have to be able to sit there and say, okay, this is how I'm going to calculate kind of where I'm at. You got to have that action, right? And it has to relate to your goal, and you have to have a time frame. You have to be smart about your goal, right? Smart, S-M-A-R-T, right? So I think it has to be measurable to a point, because I think that helps you set your goals.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, you have to be cognizant of how that makes you feel, right? Because if you're like, hey, I just want $5 million in the bank account, you get there and then you don't have any sense of achievement, right? Because I can guarantee you, you're like these uber successful people that you hear go into depression or suicide and they're worth billions of dollars. Well, at one point they wanted 5, and then they're like, they got to 5 and they're like, oh, I want 10, right? Like I'm not going to be financially secure till I'm 10. And then it's 20, it's 30. They keep escalating because they don't have that feeling of success, because what they forgot to do is remember when they were at 0. Right. If they were at 5 million, instead of moving on to 10, they took a step back and looked at when they were at 0. They're like, oh, my God, look what I achieved. Right. And then you're living in that gain. Right. It's that when you're living in the gap, you're not getting that feeling that you're talking about, because you're always wanting more. You're in that gap. So you don't get that feeling of, oh, my God, I achieved something. It's just more, more, more. So I think it's a combination of both.
You know, it's funny, my wife and I celebrate like mini successes like that, you know, things that we feel like we've accomplished. Like we'll go out and we'll have dinner and celebrate that. And I think especially if you're looking to achieve a level of like financial success or security, as you were explaining, I think reaching the mark, it's like, yeah, that's good. I did that. But now, if you don't go out and celebrate it, and again, maybe it's dinner, maybe you buy yourself a car. But if you don't get that feeling of like, yeah, like relishing in the moment, it's like, why are you even doing it? You know, and I feel bad for people who just continually, like, I don't mean to say like a great work ethic, talking about professional athletes who obviously grind and grind and grind, but a lot of people in life grind and achieve, but don't enjoy their success, don't recognize their success. And that's, it's like tragic, like a tragic existence.
It's horrible. They're living in that gap, right? They're just chasing that ideal. Like, so we went out, we went to go see Cher this weekend, on Saturday. So, had a little date night. Wife was a little bumming on Friday. She starts thinking about the kid moving out of the house, and all of a sudden it's just Netflix and sad movies. And I'm like, I'm not doing that on a Saturday. So, and I was like, we need to get out. You know, we've been doing it well. We're going 100 miles an hour. So ended up getting a driver, doing dinner, you know, going to share. And she's like, and my wife is could be happy and homeless. She's the best person in the world. But, you know, she walks outside the door and there's a driver there. And she's like, this is unnecessary. I was like, but it's worth the money for my peace. And now I'm not stressed out about driving anywhere, parking in West Hartford, which I can't fucking stand. It's the worst place to park a car. And then trying to get to the show on time, and then it was raining and all stuff. Like, we work hard, and I was present in the moment of like, you know what, this is what my hard work got us. It's peace. That's what it brought me. It was the stress free thing. And like you said, like, I was able to sit back and be like, you know, I'm able to do this, and that's kind of a treat to us. But now it's not like, if it was me a few years ago, it might have been a watch, right? Which is fine, or a pair of sneakers, or a cool jacket that I'm wearing. My wife hates this jacket, by the way. Fucking absolutely hates this jacket. On the back of it says, fuck the world and don't ask me for shit, bedazzled.
But, I love that. You know,
I'll turn around the next show, but I'm not wearing pants right now. But I think that's... right. That's also where my financial freedom has bought me, is I don't got to wear pants on TV.
There you go. That's success. That's when you know you've made it, when you're on camera pantsless.
Yes. But like, my point is like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it might have been a watch. And listen, it might be a watch 4 or 5 years from now. Right. But it's something I want. It's not something I need to impress somebody else. And I think that's the key that we were talking about. Like, you know, like, you do well, you guys reach a goal, you're going to do something that you guys want to do as a couple or as an individual, not that you need to do to show up your neighbor. You know, but like I said, I think each person is going to define it, you know, differently to a point. But I think it's the pursuit that you hit right on, is we're pursuing everything, right? Like, I hate that you got to pursue happiness. Like, you don't have to pursue happiness. You control your thoughts, right? Like, you choose whether or not to be happy, right? The most beautiful part about being beings is we choose how we process information. Like, right? Like, we have to make a conscious decision that, okay, we're going to take that information in a negative manner. And listen, I'm not bulletproof to it. I'm the first person to fly off a handle half the time, but also I have the tools now to kind of rein it in a little bit and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. But we get to control how we're reacting to all that. So when you're living in the gain and you're recognizing that, you know, you did accomplish or achieve something, you're no longer pursuing happiness. You're just happy. Right? Like the pursuit of happiness, it sounds like you're never going to obtain it. Right? Like, it's just it's one of those things. It's, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Go pursue it, but you're never gonna get it, right? Like, but that's just not the case, because you can have happiness. Like, you don't have to pursue it. It's just your mindset.
You know, it's funny. Over the last few years, the last 5 or 6 years, you know, I've been working so much, so many different jobs. And in not working at a radio station during those years, as you can imagine, my connection to free tickets pretty much dried up.
Yep.
And so my wife was so used to us always going to shows that over the last 5 or 6 years, she constantly gives me grief. She'll be like, remember when we used to go to shows? And I'm like, do you remember when I could get tickets for anything? You know, or they would ask me to go like represent at a show. Like, those days are over. It's not that I'm not fun and spike. I just don't have access to it. And now, already, did I tell you this story the other day? No. With the tickets?
No.
Oh my goodness. So I got tickets to a concert from the radio station. They gave me a pair of tickets. The show's in like a month. And I put them in my shirt pocket, and I got home, and I was in my bathroom, and I opened up the medicine cabinet, and I was about to take off my stuff, take a shower, and I took the tickets out, and I put them in the medicine cabinet for safekeeping. The show was literally like 6 weeks away.
That's a weird spot, by the way.
Yeah, I was standing, and I thought, oh, let me do something with these. I'll put them in the medicine cabinet so I don't lose them, get them wet, whatever the case. Totally forgot about them. The next morning, I get a text from my wife. That was a really romantic gesture. And I'm like, yes. What does she think I did? Made no connection to that. And I mean, hours went by, and she again makes another comment like, that was really sweet. I really appreciate that. That really made my morning. And I'm thinking, you know, did I do anything this morning? And then later in the afternoon, I saw my daughter, who was like, hey, pretty smooth move with those tickets in the medicine cabinet. And I was like, oh,
you know, dad still got it.
Ah, yeah, dude.
Still got game.
Yeah. It's funny. Awesome. It's, you know, listen, it's easier to be happy when you have money.
Oh, yes.
That's just it's funny that, you know, money can't buy happiness. And it's like, well,
never met a happy poor person.
Money, yeah. When you have money, the things that you can do. And again, this is my point, right? Like, I celebrate the moment. I'm making a lot more money right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been out, we've ordered in. I mean, instantaneously, like, yeah.
Yeah. Bad and bougie. Bad. Yeah. Bougie.
We're like the Beverly Hillbillies, dude. It's like, go get some new suits, Jed. You know, we're not messing around, dude. It's like, yeah. What's because once you get a taste of the good life, too, and then it kind of levels out, you're like, I want that again.
Yeah, well, it's funny. So, like, me and my wife could it be more opposite in that aspect, right? Like, couldn't it be more polar opposite, where I'm that guy, right? Like, I don't do a lot of shit. When I do shit, I'm doing big shit, right? Or like, I like nice things. I like nice clothes, like nice sneakers. My wife could wear a fucking potato sack and be happy. She doesn't give two shits. You know, which is great, you know, but it's also sometimes just completely infuriating, because I'm like, hey, I want to do something. Like, I want to do this big thing. And she's like, we don't need to. Like, why do we got to do that? But it's a good balance. But what I try to tell her is, she's like, well, you know, if you don't like being a lawyer and you're always stressed out, just go do something else and we'll survive. I'm not living to survive. I'm living to live. And what I tell people, especially young kids, is, you have this mantra out there now, like, just follow what you love, do what you love, and you'll be happy and successful. That's a bunch of fucking bullshit. Like, for me, like, I'm good at what I do. I like what I do, but what I do allows me to do things I love. And that's the key, right? Like, if you could find both, and it sounds like you have both, Joe, where like, you're making money and you have that job you love to do, that is awesome. But I didn't go to law school because I love the law. Like, I went to law school so I didn't have to struggle like my parents did. Yeah. Right. Like, you know, and I'm not, I get one shot at this life. Like, so I'm not saying, hey, go spend all of your money, but go live your life a little bit, but also find a job that allows you to do that. And if you're not in love with your job, don't be sad about it. Don't be depressed about it. Be in the game. Be like, okay, well, it's providing me X, Y, and Z. And because it provides me X, Y, and Z, now I could go do something I'm passionate about, right? Like, and that's where I try to steer my brain literally on a daily basis. Like, literally, like, it's a daily conversation I have to have with myself on this is why I do it, because then I could do the podcast or the coaching, or like fucking go to a football game with a kid, or if I want to take my wife out, or, you know, I want to help somebody. That's why I do. But it's a constant reminder for me of why I'm doing it. So I think you hit the nail on the head of like, listen, it's, people are so afraid to say, hey, money matters, but it does. Like, cause
yeah,
if you're trying to provide for your family, no one wants to struggle, right? Or see their family struggle. And there's millions of people that do, and it's not their fault. They're doing everything they can, right? Like, we've all been there. Like, I've been piss poor. I've been broke. I've had $5 in my name. We've all had that story. But yes, life is easier because I hustled for fucking 20 years in this business, but it's not the end all be all. Like, I did it at first because I thought it was, I wanted the big house and all of that stuff. But the reason I do it now is because time is my biggest commodity, and what money buys me is time, right? Like your money buys you freedom. Right. Yeah. Like, your money buys you that time that you need. So I think you just have to have the balance of both, because I've been on that paper chase where I was like, yo, I'm just going to make money. And because I have this money, I'm happy. It doesn't make you happy, but it makes it a lot easier to get to the place where you're going to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And really, I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, is, you know, finding the joy and happiness in the things that you're doing. But again, I just think it's important to recognize, I mean this too, especially for people who aren't doing well, or people who are, you know, who are struggling or trying to scrape by right now. And it's like, you know, your motivation is, in time, I'm going to get myself in a position to really enjoy life. And it's a good motivator. It's a good motivator, but it's not a very happy existence.
Correct. That's 100%.
Because you're living in the gap, right? You're living in the gap. Now, over the last 4 or 5 years, my wife and I are okay. Just haven't had that extra money to like, fuck it. Like, let's just do whatever we want. You know, we've been working. I've been especially busting my butt. She makes a ton of money, you know, and all the hustle paid off. But the whole time, I did not lose sight of, you know, I had a heart attack. So mind you, I might have overworked myself a little bit, but the joy in what I was doing was there. Starting a media company from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, I constantly look back. It's funny, the people who I told you I had partners when it started. And by the way, none of them are in media currently. And the main co-founder of this company had started another company. And that company is also already gone belly up.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So I feel, again, like I kind of look back like, wow. I've achieved, and I've kept working at it, and it was a grind, and it was hard. And I had partners that knew what they were doing in certain areas that I didn't know. And then when they left, it was like, oh, it's all me. But still, as much of a struggle, as hard as it was, I always sat back and really relished in the moment. I remember the first big check I got from a client, and I remember thinking to myself, I don't have to share this with anybody.
Yeah.
This whole check is mine. Not having partners is the best thing I ever did. This check split three ways sucks. This check like this, Yeah, boy, yeah. We on. Yeah. And so again, it, you know, in the grand scheme of things, man, it wasn't a ton of money, but in that moment, it represented something even bigger. And again, that moment, and this is why I think it was important for people. If you genuinely want to be happy most of the time, just take some pleasure in the moment that you're living in and enjoy even small good things that are happening, especially like you said, if it's part of the goal to kind of get you where you're trying to get, celebrate those little things.
Yeah.
You don't have to get a watch or shoes for every little success, but you know, even if it's just taking a moment or calling somebody, your mom even, and being like, hey, guess what I did today? This is pretty wild. You got to celebrate. That's why we live. We live to sort of celebrate life's achievements.
1,000%. I mean, I always tell people, I read a book. I think Mel Robbins wrote it. It's the high five method, right? You high five yourself, you know, you quit. And it sounds crazy, but like, I remember when I was in my apartment and like, I was just like, oh, I lost some weight and fucking walked by a mirror to high five myself. And I looked fucking crazy, but it makes sense. And it's for the little stuff. It's like, I used to leave my toothbrush fucking out of the cup and it used to just make a mess. So I started fucking high fiving myself every time I did it, like this little shit. And it sounds crazy, but then it becomes these habits, right? Then you're like, you know, I accomplished something today. Yeah. Like, and it might be something stupid, but though you're building these habits, but we're so quick as a society to high five everybody else, but we never fucking high five ourselves, right? Like the, you know, people shame you for doing the humble brag, and I'm the worst about it. People are like, oh, you're a lawyer, you got your own firm, you've been doing it for blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like anyone can do it. Right. Like instead of taking a step back and be like, okay, like maybe I did do something. Right. Like I've fucking been out on my own for 14 years now. Like I've, you know, I'm so quick to dismiss it because at that point when I'm dismissing it in my mind, I'm already like, well, I'm not here. Right. Like I'm not where I thought I was going to be instead of being like, you know what? They're right. Like it was 2010. I didn't have a job. Right. Like, it was 2011. I'm living in my fucking Altima, right? Like that type of stuff. So don't be so shy to high five yourself a little bit, right? Be more like Joe. That's one thing I love about Joe. I swear to God, I it's one of my favorite things about you. Like you're an awesome person and you embrace your awesomeness. And I fucking love it. Like it's so unapologetic. It's like fucking refreshing. Like it's just because like that's the type of shit like I wish I had where I'm just like, you know what, fucking I'm pretty awesome. Like, I mean, it would suck if you were like a shitty person and you're just like, yo, I'm fucking awesome.
And no, I totally like, could be. I yes. totally could be and be like this and everybody would hate me. And I know a lot of people that are just like that. And, you know, it's funny, right? Somebody recently called me and said it in all seriousness. And I was a little, I mean, I was kind of proud to hear it, but also a little like taken aback. A radio personality, a younger fella who's not too young, but younger than me, called me to another person, and in all seriousness, a legend.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't consider myself one of those at all. I really don't. You know, I've had success for a long time, and I'm so appreciative that it's worked out that way. But I've never seen myself as that. And for someone to say that, you know, I didn't even react. I didn't say anything, but in my heart, I was like, oh, my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard somebody say about me. And again, especially not having myself to consider yourself something like that. It was just it's weird to hear somebody say that. But
it's awesome. Like, but yeah, it's okay. It's awesome. But to take a step back, but like, you know what? Like, that's dope. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
When you can look and say one of your peers calls you a legend in your business, like that's wow.
I've never gotten called a legend. I'm waiting on that. But I had I'm hoping. I'm hoping. But it was funny. So I was sitting in court a couple of weeks ago and I was talking to an attorney, great guy. He's been doing it forever. Just a really good dude. I don't say that a lot about a lot of attorneys. I ain't going to fucking lie. But I could tell, like, he just needed a few minutes to talk, right? Like, not about lawyer shit, just about, especially in our business, it's highly competitive. Like, anytime you're having a conversation with someone, half the time it's a fucking angle. You know, like, instead of saying, hey, we're all in this shit together, we're dealing with people. I mean, I deal with people's problems every day. Then I go home and deal with my shit. Right. So it's a lot of weight. And we just took 10 minutes just to have a conversation. And I got a handwritten letter probably like 4 or 5 days later. Hey, thanks for the 10 minutes in the hallway. Like, it still gives me chills just talking about it. Like, yeah. It would probably in my 18 years of practicing law, it was probably the greatest moment I've ever had. Like, ever. And it had nothing to do with being a lawyer. And, you know, and that's the type of the stuff that I keep in the back of my mind when we're doing this podcast, or, you know, doing the, like, trying to do the coaching, or just trying to have conversations with people. And that's why I love what we're doing, because we have these conversations, because you never know when you're going to get that handwritten card. Like, it's awesome.
You actually, and I just thought of a radio legend, a guy by the name of Jerry Christopher. Who's very well known around the state of Connecticut. I get a chance to work with this guy when I was breaking into the business, and there was a creepy, one of those listeners that just shows up everywhere kind of people. And we have those weirdos. And Jerry went over to the guy, had a nice conversation with him, asked him a whole bunch of stuff, told him a little bit about whatever the guy wanted to ask about. And after a couple of minutes, you know, thank the guy for coming and sort of sent him on his way. And he walked over to me and he goes, give everybody you meet 5 minutes. Give everybody 5 minutes. They want to talk about themselves, let them do it. They want to ask you 5 minutes worth of questions, just answer them. You really make a difference in somebody's life. Yeah. You know, like that's the way to treat people. And that always struck me as like, people who maybe you don't even necessarily care about or want to get to know better, giving people the time of day
could change your life.
It has such a huge impact on people. Yeah. And again, we get so stuck in the gap of who we want to attract, who we want to be friends with, who we want in our inner circle, that sometimes those people that are right there in the orbit, you know, you're like, move out of the way. I need some real friends. And it's like,
they're right there. They're right there.
Right, you're there, bro.
Yeah. You never know. I tell the kid all the time. He's like, why does everyone talk to you? You know, everybody, because I take the time out, man. Cause you never know who you're talking to, and you never know when you're going to need a person just to listen. Right. Like, and there's just, it was all the people out in the world. Like I have my friends I don't need anymore. It's crazy. Like it's probably, when I hear people say it, it's the most frustrating thing I hear, because I'm a social butterfly, because you never know. Like, and you might just be friends with a person for 4 months, but that might be a great 4 months. They help change something and then they move on. That's fine. They're that door, that window, but they serve a purpose. And the opportunities people fucking miss out on a daily basis, because they just don't take 2 minutes to have a conversation with somebody, it's just mind-blowing.
I've been out with you 4 or 5 times in social gatherings. And in 100% of the cases, you were the life of the party. And I was there. I was at those parties. and despite that, Ben, you just are. You're just that guy.
That was my ex-wife's biggest complaint about me.
Really?
Well, no, there was like a couple other ones, but yeah. yeah, like it's, you know what it is? It's, and people are like, oh, it's just been, you know, being a bragger or whatever. It's not, like, I just feed off the energy. Like if you could just feel the energy in a room, and like when someone's like actively like participating with somebody, you know, and you're like, I'm just happy in that environment. I'm like you do, like, you know, not that we're show ponies, but like we feed off of other people, right? Like, and it's just, I think me, you know, this is, it's more new for me being confident in who I am. Like, just like, I'm okay with Vin. And that's probably over the past 3 years. Like, and I'm 44. So for the, you know, first 41 years of my life, I was trying to get comfortable with, hey, it's okay being me. But like, now that the fact that I'm in it, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to be rude to people, but I'm going to come in. I'm going to do what I do, enjoy life, be happy. But I think that's why me and you hit it off, right? Because like, we could be anywhere, like, and just, it is what it is, dude. Like, yeah, you know, like, I mean, if you put us side by side, we're pretty different people, right? Like, you know, but we have like the same goals, the same personality, and it works. And like, we're both confident in what we do. So it's not like, oh, fucking Joe over there, look at him stealing my fucking thunder. What a dick. Like, I'm the right fucking guy. I'm the legend. I can't even believe it.
How dare he not include me in that?
How dare he? Like, how dare he not say hi to me first? But I think I like it, you know? Like, it's funny because my wife is a... She's like a hybrid, right? Like, so she'd be cool with just staying home, right? Like, we just went to her high school reunion and she's just like, oh, I don't want to go. But then she works a room, like, and she could be in any environment. She could be at a fucking high school reunion. She lived in the Bronx. She could be at a club. Like, she could just maneuver wherever. And it's incredible. Like, me, like, it's one speed, right? Like, I'm a fucking ox in a china shop. I'm just bulldozing everybody. Like, I have no grace about me, but my wife is the most graceful person in a room. You know, but I think me and you, we're not built to be graceful, dude. We're just coming in hot.
No tutu.
No, full Monty all day, bro. Yeah. It is what it is. But no, man, I think like I think this might be our best conversation. Like, I liked our friend conversation. And I was gonna tell you this off the air, but like, this has been a doozy, man. It's like giving a lot of people a lot to chew on this one.
You know? It's getting deep, dude. It's getting deep. You know,
and should we tell them that this was a second take on it? Because shit was real fucked up for the first 14 minutes with like a tape delay. It looked like an old Jackie Chan movie. Like, you saw the lips moving, but like the words weren't coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's funny because you did briefly mention that your teeth look good in this version. We spent even more time in the messed up version of this episode. We spent a lot more time talking about your teeth. But the best was at one point, you were talking about your teeth and your face froze on the camera and your teeth were on full display. And I was like, oh, wow, look at that, Vin. They look great. Dude, I can't hear anything you're saying, but your teeth do look great.
No braces on this either, dude. Just God-given beauty right here. No, man, but like, this was a doozy. I like this one, man. It was I like them all. I like them all, Joe. I think we're this one's
five though.
No, that's gotta go on after Easter, bro. Like, and that's another thing I had talked to my sister about, and I was just like, yo, we got this episode. She's like, really? During Easter?
How's your sister feel about Easter?
She was just like, you might want to get some more listeners before you start fucking crossing people off.
Right. Let's take out 3 or 4 billion of the clip. narrow it down.
But now people are gonna be listening in. They're gonna be waiting, like, what is this episode about? We're just gonna tease it for like a decade.
It's, you know, it's not even as bad. No, maybe it is.
It's aggressive, dude. It's aggressive. Well, you know, but no, man, this was a good chat, you know. You gotta remember to live in the game, not the gap, everybody. That is the game we gotta play.
Now, you know, look, we've done enough episodes at this point where if people are interested in getting in touch with you. Yes. Either for coaching, again, maybe they want to come on the podcast and talk about some things or whatever the case may be. How can people get in touch with you?
A few ways. So you can get in touch with me. Actually, just go to my website. It is www.changeofplansct.com. There you'll see email, phone number. I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute. But that'll give you kind of what I offer as far as my coaching practice goes. So all the little tidbits you're getting here, you learn through the coaching process that I provide. Hold on one second. I should have this up and running, but I am just a horrible person.
I probably could have mentioned I was going to do this to you before.
Yeah, that's real, real cute, bro. So if you go to my website, changeofplans.com, it'll give you kind of a rundown of the coaching services I provide. You could actually go take some online quizzes, kind of tells you what you should be looking to do, things maybe you need to work on. You could call me at 860-759-2885, call or text that number. Also on social media, you know, Change Your Plans on Instagram. You got Change Your Plans on Facebook. And you could always just leave comments and DM me if you want to hear about certain topics, things we didn't touch on or didn't touch on long enough. But definitely, you know, the podcast is a great platform to kind of give you a idea of my coaching style. And the website just gives you the full smorgasbord of what I offer, one-on-one sessions, a variety of services and packages. But if you like what we're doing here and you think it's helpful for you as an individual, I could guarantee that the coaching stuff is going to be right up your alley. But definitely reach out to me or Joe. I think what we would like to do is, you know, definitely want people to be interactive. So if there's stuff you want us to talk about or you want to be a guest, more than happy to do that. This is a work in progress, as Joe will say. We are, you know, trying to grow the podcast, and constructive criticism, just be somewhat kind to us. I'm sensitive, as you could tell. But yeah, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. I wish Joe would have gave me a heads up. I would have been a lot smoother with that transition and, you know, but he decided to have a change of plans on me. So this is the first time he's done that in 7 episodes. So
you like thanks, that? Bud.
Yeah. That's great, dude.
We're going to start doing that going forward. Just a heads up.
thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And horrible. And listen, if you take nothing else away from this podcast tonight, let it be this. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. It's back. I promise everyone. Don't be a dick. Have a good one. Live in the game, not the gap.